All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Folks, it's game day. It's the Vancouver Canucks' first chance at redemption after dropping game two on home ice. They are in Nashville. Harmon Dial is in Nashville. Jeff Patterson is in Nashville. We're not even going to talk to Jeff, but his coverage is over at Canucks Army. He was on Sakaris and Price today as well, so make sure you check that out if you haven't already. And of course, Rinkwide Vancouver after the game. Folks, Canucks Army is well represented right now in Nashville. Check it out. I got my Canucks Army playoff shirt. We've been talking about it for ages. You can get yours at nationgear.ca. I'm fired up. This thing looks great, Harmon.
I love it.
Big logo. That's my biggest complaint about t-shirts is the logos are too small. If it has logos or a design, it's too small sometimes. That's my big complaint, especially when I buy online. That's my big complaint. But anyways, you're there in Nashville. This is Canucks Conversation. I am absolutely fired up. This is going to be an electric episode, and that's not just because Canucks Conversation is brought to you by the 2024 Toyota BZ4X, but it certainly doesn't hurt. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that's designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love, and even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through it all. Okay, Harm, big show. It's a quick show, but it's previewing a game. By the time we talk, we're going to have a couple games that we're going to be ready to talk about. So I'm excited. I'm fired up. 2 p.m. start on Sunday, 4:30 start local or Pacific time today. Patrick Johnson's going to join us. It's a good time right now. It's a good time. It's good vibes. I know it didn't go how they wanted it to last game, but man, it is good vibes today.
Yeah, and I don't have any predictions for this for tonight's game or this series as a whole, but one thing I will say is I'm impressed that the vibes around the team are still pretty good, considering, I mean, just seeing them at practice yesterday, morning skate today, just sort of being around the locker room. I genuinely don't sense any panic around the team right now that, hey, it could be easy to look at losing Thatcher Demko, look at how they lost game two, and for some doubt to be creeping in, especially considering they're now having to go into hostile territory in Nashville. But this seems like a group that's calm. This seems like a group that is focused, but also has been keeping it lighthearted and isn't gripping the stick too tight, isn't overly worried. And so we'll see if that can hopefully translate into some success on the ice tonight.
Well, it's one thing to say, yeah, there's no panic in this room, but it's another to really have your body language, have your actions completely show that. And right now, look, that was the same vibe in the locker room after the game was, you know, guys said, yeah, we're not panicking. But then you also saw them still like kind of, you know, it was fresh off a playoff loss and they didn't seem too down on themselves. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a very good thing. Okay, we've got some keys to the Canucks picking up a victory tonight. And hell, you could even extend this to Sunday because it's keys to victory for this series at this point, Harm. I gave you some homework. I said, go write some down and we're going to come up with some. I'll go first. The big one to me is that this team has 5 20 goal scorers on it and not one of them has scored a goal in this series. Not one. Not a single one. And in the case of Elias Pettersson and Nils Höglander, obviously that also equates to not looking good anywhere else on the ice as well. Again, I think Miller and Besser have been fine. They've been creating. They just haven't scored. But this was an interesting thing I saw on Sakaris and Price today when I was watching. Jeff Patterson pointed this out. There wasn't a three-game stretch this season where Pettersson, Miller, and Besser were held without a goal. So now all of those guys have played two games without scoring a goal. There hasn't been a single time this season where those three have gone three games without at least one of them scoring a goal. So my key to success here, Harm, is that your best players need to come out and actually be your best players.
100%. And it is interesting because sometimes when the goals aren't coming, you look at the shot totals and they're buzzing. And sure, Miller, Besser, that line, especially in game one, has had strong territorial control, but you look at the actual shots on goal for these guys, Miller with 3, Besser with 2, Pettersson with 2 through 2 games. That's not nearly enough. In my opinion, leading shot producer is obviously one of their line mates, Pia Suter, with 6. So it kind of goes to show that at least that Miller line has had territorial control, but I need Miller and Besser shooting pucks. Like at a certain point, if you're banking on Pia Suter's, if you're living and dying by Pia Suter's finishing ability in and around the slot, like I'm not comfortable with that. You need the puck to be released by Miller, Besser, Pettersson more often. And at 5-on-5, one of the biggest surprises in the series so far is that the Pettersson versus Colton Sissons line soft matchup, Canucks are getting their lunch fed in those minutes. So far in the series, they've been outshot 12-4 at 5-on-5 and outscored 3-0 with Elias Pettersson on the ice at 5-on-5. So that has to absolutely turn around.
Yeah. I'm curious how the matchups are going to look tonight. We're going to be joined by Patrick Johnson in a matter of moments. We'll ask him about that as well. But Harm, before I get to my next kind of takeaway or key to victory, how do you suspect the matchup game is going to change for them? Because they were an excellent road team this year.
I don't think it's going to change too much, to be honest, because Brunette already seemed comfortable using that McCarron line against JT Miller. Like, they don't seem to have a specific, like, shutdown checking line that they want to get out against a Vancouver line. And it makes sense, right? There hasn't been one line from Vancouver's end that's been killing them. So it's not as if they're targeting on their whiteboard, this is the line that we want Ryan O'Reilly going up against, or that we want Colton Sissons' checking line to go up against. The only thing that I wonder about is if I'm Andrew Bennett, I'm trying to find more favorable situations to get the Forsberg line out there against lesser competition, right? So that, like, I'm situationally going to be looking at obviously offensive zone starts or anytime there is an icing or whatever the situation is. If I can create a mismatch for that O'Reilly line, I'm going to be looking to do that if I'm Andrew Brunette. But outside of that, like, I don't suspect that a ton is going to change from the matchup game perspective, just because both teams seem to be okay with the matchups that each coach has been throwing at each other through the first two games of the series.
Okay, my next key to victory here is that the Canucks need the early save. I pointed this a lot earlier in the season, was that Thatcher Demko and hell, even Casey DeSmith would make the big save when maybe the Canucks were under siege early, and then the Canucks would be able to kind of weather the storm and then come back, and all of a sudden they're out in front. And it kind of leaves your opponent a little flabbergasted, maybe a little bit in disbelief that, wow, we controlled so much, we did so many things well, and we didn't score a goal. you need the big save. You need the big early save from Casey DeSmith. That's one of my keys to victory. Another one quickly, Harm, is that the Canucks need to score first. They were one of the best teams in the regular season at scoring the first goal of the game. Like, that was a lock all season long, was Canucks to score the first goal. And it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened in the playoffs. They haven't scored in the first period. They haven't been the first team to score. That's got to change. That's got to change if you want to get some wins here.
And you, if you want to think about a perfect example, tying those keys in together, just look at the Edmonton game where the Pacific Division crown was on the line. Edmonton was all over Vancouver early, and Casey DeSmith had to make some key stops, especially when the Oilers were on the power play. And then eventually at the end of the first period, Sam Lafferty found a way to give the Canucks a lead. And from there, the Canucks didn't look back, and they've been so comfortable holding leads, playing a disciplined style from that perspective. So absolutely, that's bang on.
Okay, let's get PJ's key to victory. PJ, that's your homework while I do this ad read. You got to come in with a key to victory, because Patrick Johnson is brought to you by the DFO Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. All right, let's bring him in. Patrick Johnson, who we got to get one of these shirts to. PJ, look at these shirts. Wyatt Arndt helped me come up with the slogan.
That's a fabulous shirt. Yeah, I would wear that every day. I should have put my Triampkin shirt on.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I got my old classic, you know.
BFG.
Yeah. Yeah, BFG. Anyway. Amazing.
All right, Pat, what are the Canucks need to do?
Victory?
Yeah.
Breathe? Pick up the breathe? It's breathe. Rick Tocchet kind of nodded at this the other day. But, you know, just calm down, right? Like, have a little bit of confidence in yourself and don't get flustered. We saw that last game, obviously, with all the possession, all the effort trying to get inside, the struggles all game long until, I guess, really the third period. And a lot of that was just about, I think, feeling some frustration, feeling some sort of internal, you know, learn to manage those emotions a bit, take a deep breath, trust your skills. You were so consistent all year. This is something I talked to Tyler Myers about last week. You know, it was a J-Pat. Remember J-Pat broke it down, and it's like the points in each 20 game segment was remarkably consistent for all the kind of, oh my God, they're red hot to start the season. They finished the year on a high note. They found their way. They had some bumps, but along the way, this was a very, very consistent hockey team. And I think they just need to remember that.
And when it comes to sort of that breathe and keep your composure, how much do you think that early start, the first 10 minutes, first period, is going to dictate whether or not they can actually stick to it? Because I just think if you don't get an early save, or if Saros robs you a couple times early, like, I worry a little bit that it might be hard for them to keep that composure.
Yeah, and I think that comes back to that narrative idea. Like, oh my God, but this was the highest scoring team in the first period, right? Like, for all the moments where we were talked this season about bad starts, and yes, there were lots of games they had bad starts, they had a lot of good starts, and that exactly that. I mean, it comes back to just trusting, having faith in yourself, trusting it. You know, think of the games where they did come back down the stretch. There's a few of those where they battled hard, they stuck with it, they came back. Think of game one, right? Like, they stuck to their system, they stuck to their plan, they stuck to their ideas, and it worked. And you know, some of it, we may rip on some of it, saying this is not sustainable or there's a lot of luck involved. But the truth is they've had a lot of success this season by playing the way they played. And they need to just keep that straight up. And Harm, you're absolutely right. Right off the top, like, Saros is going to make some wild saves. I mean, that Suter save, he didn't even see it. I think he told Kevin Woodley, right? Like, he didn't even know where the puck was. And he's going to do that. You just got to keep going, because he's not going to see it. He's not going to anticipate it. That's when you're going to score a goal. I mean, Dakota Joshua did exactly that with the go-ahead goal, right? Saros is doing his best, but he couldn't get to it. And he actually saw where the puck was. So keep in mind those moments. Keep in mind that ability to break things down and to beat the guy that's trying to stop you.
Kevin Woodley was on yesterday's show. PJ, you were bang on. That's exactly what Kevin said. Was Saros said post-game that he read what Suter was doing, didn't know where the puck was, but saw his body language and dove over. It's just, those are instincts that you simply can't teach.
Well, and it's also learning the game, right? I mean, it's the difference between, I mean, them and a, non-NHL hockey player obviously is vast, but it is one of those ones that casual fans probably don't pick up. They don't realize, you know, you don't have to see the puck to know where to go, right? Like, you don't have to have the puck on your stick to be a useful, effective player. I think a lot about when I was doing my underrated skills thing, and Casey DeSmith said knowing where to be off the puck, right? Where to stand, what to do. He talks so much about positioning. I mean, a goalie has a unique perspective on the play. The puck often is right behind him. He's not looking at the puck. He's trying to figure out what other people are doing. He's reading sticks. He's reading body language. It's absolutely that. And at the end of the day, it is about feeling confident and doing what you want to do and making it happen.
This was something interesting that I think Loring Finney with the Canucks pointed out to me when we had the Botchford Project event where we watched a Vancouver Warriors game. I was struggling keeping my eye on the ball. Like, guys were doing fakes, and I was like, I don't know where the ball is. And he made a good point that I think he was saying when he's watched games with people who don't watch hockey all the time, they don't know where the puck is. And since we watched all the time, you think about it, we don't always know where the puck is. You can't always see the puck, but you know, based on guys' body language and how their body positioning is, where the puck actually is. I just found that so interesting. It was very eye-opening.
Let's dunk on our pal Thomas Drance. Remember the big Julio Rodriguez cutoff man argument last year? Like, that, you know, like, you've got it's stuff like that. If you're not used to watching the game, right, your eyes aren't attuned to where to look, and think about being in the middle of the game and where you have to look. And that's so much of what goes on out there is stuff that we don't even notice if we're watching it without, you know, if we haven't played or we haven't sort of watched it with a coach's eye, or we're just there sitting there, we might not notice all these things, but that's where things happen.
I don't want to put Drance on blast, but that was a funny, funny argument. I don't want
to. Those who want to know, Thomas Drance didn't know where the cutoff man was supposed to be and had a huge argument. Anyway, I'm sure he'll be really overjoyed, and we're going to hear about it that we're talking about this now. I'm sure he'll have a great take.
Well, I'm going to see him in like an hour. We're going to be covering the game together.
You can tell him. Tell him we brought Quads and PJ brought it back up.
Okay, well,
Godspeed. I'm sorry, Harm. You're gonna lose all the hair. He's gonna scream so loud. You're gonna lose all the hair off the top of your head.
Obviously tonight, a lot of the spotlight is gonna be on Elias Pettersson. What have you seen from him in these two games, and how confident are you that he's gonna bounce back tonight or in game four?
I mean, you know, I've been discussing this a lot lately, haven't we? I mean, it's tough to figure out. I mean, for the longest time, I was trying to figure out, is he injured? He's going to deal with a back problem, a groin, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or is it just between the ears? And everyone's been saying it's between the ears. I did have someone who pays attention thinking, I think he's got an arm issue, but then he blasts these one-timer slap shots. So you're like, I don't know. I think beyond anything else, and I wrote a little about this on the weekend, even if he is dealing with something, at the bottom line, he's in the lineup. He needs to find a way to contribute. So if that means he can't get off those wristers, there's a reason why he's hesitating, why he's struggling handling the puck, fine. Do something else. Be a presence. Don't just linger on the outside looking like you don't know what to do. And I think there's been a little too much of that to me lately, where he sort of stood around waiting for something to happen. Okay, I'm here, I'm ready. But is he really making himself a decoy? Make yourself effective. Draw somebody off the puck who's defending away from the puck. Draw them out. Open up something on the inside. I just want to see him moving more. I mean, he said it himself the other day. He's got to move his feet, right? Like, he knows the challenge. He knows what needs to be done. He's just got to go out there and do it. His contract hasn't started yet, but we can still say he's being paid to do something. Get out there, to quote our old friend Jason Botchford, and, you know, do your deeks, bro. Like, do something.
Okay, Patrick, it seems like there's a lot of information out there, so I'm not going to ask you to tell us what you know, but with Thatcher Demko, if you know for sure what's going on with him, feel free to throw it out there. But I'm going to assume that you don't know exactly what's going on, or if you do, you can't share it. So we're going to assume that. If you can, cut me off.
I don't know exactly. I can't. I'm not hiding anything here. But I do know stuff. Like, I wrote yesterday, right? I wrote a little bit of following up on Woodley. Woodley had it saying, listen, a couple rounds, I think. I've essentially heard the same thing. I think if there's extremely possible, or extremely small chance, I should say, not impossible, that he might be back, say, if they get to the second round, towards the end of the second round. I think it all depends on schedule. That's the extent of what I heard. I mean, we can parse through the bits and pieces, talk it saying it's a new injury. Nobody ever confirmed it. All that Demko ever told us was a knee problem. The sort of timeline matched in a mild MCL sprain. I think everyone's kind of back doors conclusion was that it was that, but we certainly have never heard that officially. So if it's something else, well, there's not a lot of options left. It could be a meniscus issue. It could be an ACL issue. It could be, I don't know, some other ligament we're not thinking of. But at the end of the day, you know, we saw the discomfort. If you saw that clip from the end of the game in game one, you know, that in the short term, certainly if it's meniscus, that's a big issue. That's an extra piece of tissue that you're going to catch. If it's not, if it's an ACL issue, that obviously is a huge worry, but there are ways around these things. But, you know, your knee is so important to playing goaltending. And David, I'm sure you've talked lots and lots and lots about the joints and the goaltender. But the knee is so important that I am still, you know, the idea, can he just play through it? The number of people that screamed at me on social media, can he just play through it? I'm like, well, I don't know. Can you do a squat with a knee that's not working properly? Now try to play goalie in the NHL. Like, the expectations of fighting through pain, obviously, in sports are high. But if it's a functional problem in his knee, there's not much you can do about that. That's literally what he does for his position. So, yeah, like I said, late second round, maybe. I wrote as likely conference finals. That just seemed the most logical thing. But, you know, you never know. Maybe they come up with some miracle drug. Maybe they get something done in Nashville. I don't know. That's just me. I'm literally not reporting. I'm not thinking. That's just me wondering. They're, you know, dealing with a pay-for-play healthcare system right now. So maybe, I don't know. But the fact he's on the trip, and this has been pointed out, I think Rick Dhaliwal pointed it out this morning, the fact he's on the trip tells you that it's not like the season's not over. I think they may have been worried at one point that might be the consequence, but the fact he's on the trip, he's there for sort of morale. Rick Tocchet told us that the other day when I asked him, he said, listen, he's there for morale at the very least. That tells you everything. He matters. These guys want to see him. They want to think that he's going to be back.
KPJ, very broad question. Sorry, Harm. Very broad question. Cause it's just like, I'm looking at this series and I was going to ask you about Casey DeSmith, but I don't even think I have to. Like, Casey DeSmith was fine in game two. That's your goalie now. There's no sense in talking about it. How do you see the rest of this series going? It's a very broad question.
I mean, it's going to be tight. I always thought it would go six games. It wouldn't shock me if it goes seven. It's very much a game of bounces. I think at this point, little moments, winning your little moments. Canucks won more little moments on Sunday. Obviously, Nashville won more little moments on Tuesday. Tonight, there's no reason to think it won't be the same story. I mean, Andrew Brunette wants his guys to go to the net. There's a little more sort of softness in the underbelly there. Rick Tocchet insisted, he wouldn't tell us, but he insisted he sees things that his team can take advantage of that they're not doing enough of. So that's the other question, how they adjust. I mean, that is the adjustments game to game, but it's still going to be very, very close. I don't think there's a lot. I think the Canucks are still going to win, even if you're concerned about the goaltending, because in the end, the win was always going to be about strong defensive play and counter punches to take the goals when they're there. And I still think that's the key that's the route to victory.
Quads, you literally asked my question. So I'm cut me off and ask my own question. Can't believe you did that to me.
Just like the worst editors that we know, right? Never that, always taking credit for our ideas.
Exactly.
Oh, I was on the fly. I was trying to think of something cool that Harmon said yesterday and try and throw it at you, but I couldn't think of it off the top of my head. So I won't. One thing that I said was cool, Patty, I called the swinging A's to win the game yesterday. Did you see that?
Yeah, but they're so, no, don't talk to me about them. That makes me upset.
Oh, come on.
Don't talk to me about them. You imagine having Zach the worst owner in sports. And anyway, let's not talk about it. We're not here to talk about that.
Fair enough. Okay. Any final thoughts? Any final Canucks thoughts? I know this is an interview, but I love just chatting hockey with you, Pat.
I don't know. I mean, it's been...
Oh, I have one thing. Sorry. You wrote about this and I found it really interesting.
Oh, the disc golf?
No, but you can talk about that too. Let's start with disc golf. Let's start with disc golf. Yeah, disc golf.
No, I thought I was trying to think of a way to segue quickly of the Casey DeSmith's love of disc golf. No, it's a fun story. It's a neat way to decompress. People love it. Casey DeSmith is a passion. By the way, I will say this, the Canucks branded disc in the story that gets mentioned is sold out. So if you get one, that's a pretty special item. That's all I'll say. What did you want to hype? What other story? Oh, the
I was going to say, I liked the disc golf story, but also you chatted with Jim Robson, really like Jim Robson. And
Jim was, broadcast. Yeah, he sort of went, I guess the bean counters, but you know, this isn't great. I don't like it. Obviously, the medium has changed, right? Like the way we cover sports, look at us right now, the way we talk about sports, the way we listen about sports has really changed. And so that's the truth over all of this. But at the end of the day, commentators should be in the building. If you're providing a service and Sportsnet has a radio broadcast, you know, you should be doing the full job. And right now they're not. And, you know, as a couple of people pointed out to me, Joe Bowen, you know, in the end, it wasn't a good look. There's no doubt in my mind. He was unhappy with how that played out, right? It's not an iconic call. The Leafs had not made the second round. And you can insert all your jokes and laughter now, but the Leafs had not made the second round in 20 years. And the call, you know, obviously there's a TV call, but the sort of in-house, you want your local guy. There's still that local connection with your local broadcaster. I mean, John Shorthouse nodded this choices to me when I talked to him last week about covering his first ever Canucks series. You know, that at the end of the day, you know, you are impartial, you're an observer, but you still understand the local angles and the local interests and all that. And so if fans want to have a choice, at the end of the day, they've got one. They should have one. And Batch and Randeep do a great job. And they've done a great job all year, and they've done a great job ever since they've been grounded. But there are bits and pieces that will pick up that they're not able to pick up because they're calling off the monitor.
Yeah, and they do such a terrific job. So it's a shame. It's a shame. All the time in the world for those two, for sure. Okay, Patrick Johnson. You know what I was thinking of is I want to make a trade with you in our fantasy league for a guy named Pete. But anyways, we'll talk later.
All right, guys. Take it. Patrick Johnson, catch you later. Thanks. Have fun.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Patrick Johnson of the Province, who I made a trade with earlier this morning. Harm, can you grade PJ and I's fantasy trade?
No, absolutely not. Actually, okay, I'm kind of curious. What was
it? You don't have to. It's okay. I traded, I got a prospect. I got Hunter Goodman, the guy who's up with the Rockies right now, 24 years old, hit a bomb in his second game. We like that kind of power on my squad. So I gave PJ Chris Bassett because he's really struggling with pitching, but it's a good, Good trade for both sides, not getting vetoed by the league. Okay, time for our Light the Lamp contest, brought to you by our friends at Four Winds Brewing. Vancouver is playing Nashville tonight, and we want to know who's going to score the first goal for Vancouver. If you nail it, you could win a $25 gift card to the Four Winds Tap Room, located at 72nd and River Road in Delta. Enter by following us on social media, keep an eye out for today's show clip, and comment who you think will light the lamp and score the first goal tonight. Winners will be contacted directly. Check us out at Canucks Army on Twitter, at CanucksArmy.com on Instagram, and Canucks Army on Facebook. And make sure you ask about Four Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store, or have some delivered to your front door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. All right, folks, we said it was going to be a shorter show today, so we're going to get to anyone else shortly. Is there anything else you wanted to get to specifically about the game and the keys to victory, Harmon?
Overall, one other point that I just want to make is the Canucks are going to have to find a way to diversify how they create 5-on-5 offense. to adapt to what Nashville was doing, where they pressure the points, they block all those shots. The Vancouver's offensive strategy can't just be low to high and float point shots while hoping for tips, deflections, and rebounds. There needs to be other ways so you keep them honest. Because if you remember when we did our series preview, we were having this discussion of offense in the playoffs. And one of the points that I brought up is you don't want to be a one-trick pony in any one direction, right? Whether you're a rush team like Nashville or you're more of a forecheck, sort of in-zone type offensive team like the Canucks, you got to have multiple tricks up your sleeve. You've got to be able to create many different ways. And so what I'm going to be watching for through games 3 and 4 is, can you create a little bit off the rush? Can you use a third forward high like the Canucks were doing some practice drills on and change your angles of attack? And Tocchet has a couple times now brought up the idea that he thinks there are a couple of tactical ways they can exploit Nashville if they continue with the defensive strategy that they were employing in game 2. So let's see what that is. Let's see if the Canucks can actually execute that.
Kevin brought it up yesterday, different ways to produce offense. Look, I was thinking about it a lot, Harm. Played some NHL with the boys. Actually, I was playing with Chris last night. Chris Faber was playing with Chris Faber last night. A couple of my friends and Chris, we were playing NHL, and we were intentionally shooting pucks wide because our opponent was clogging the middle. He's on the team's payroll. I don't know how Chris does that and doesn't go into the team's locker room and say, hey, boys, you know what? I played some NHL last night. I got some ideas. But in all seriousness, I did find what Kevin said really interesting about just, you know, when the puck goes wide, not intentionally shooting it wide per se, but when the puck goes wide, just being ready, like be ready to produce offense in different ways. So good stuff there, Harm. Yeah. Okay. Oh, this is funny. Mace. Wow. This is way, way too mean. Mace calling us out. The one time we forget to make our four wins pick. Listen to this comment, Harm. Can you idiots pick? Wow. Unbelievable comment. The one time there's been 82 games.
Hey, what
this
if
year.
We were picking a shutout? We're not, but
we're not. Well, no, we're definitely not. But look, 82 games. We don't miss. The first two playoff games, we don't miss. We missed this once. I've never even seen this guy in the chat before. Comes out, immediately calls us out for not making the four wins pick. Unbelievable. But I will make my pick. I'm going with Elias Pettersson. I think I said it last game, too. I'm going with Elias Pettersson.
I'm going to go with Brock Besser. It has to be one of those three guys, right? Like Petey, Brock, Miller. For their sake, I hope so.
Yeah, it's got to be one of those. And again, I said it earlier in the show, 520 goal scorers on this team. Not one of them has scored. And this is an interesting thing that I haven't done, but I'm curious to go see other teams' top guys. How have they done through two playoff games, right? Like, and I mean, just watching playoff series, I can tell you that it looks like most of them have shown up and most of them have shown up on the score sheet with a goal. So we will see what happens tonight. And again, there's also the Sunday 2 p.m. start. We'll be back on Monday to break it all down. But let's get to anyone else, which is brought to you by the Vancouver Canadians. The Seas are back at the Nat, and you can catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday Nooners, and superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. Folks, I said it yesterday. May 7th, Marco Estrada, the king of the changeup himself, is going to be at Nat Bailey Stadium, and he is going to be there telling y'all how to throw his changeup. Well, no, he's going to be there meeting fans, and it's going to be a great time. So make sure you grab your tickets. If you had tickets today, we should also mention that today's Nooner at the Nat was postponed because of the rain. So that means there'll be a two-game set tomorrow starting at 1:05 p.m. Gates open at noon. The homestand ends this weekend with a family fun Sunday. For tickets, call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. Harm, what's the longest you've ever spent at a baseball field?
Like, what do you mean? Like
at a Canadian game. You ever been to a Canadian game that went into extra innings?
No. Just the regular 9 innings.
Fair. And how many years ago? Since the pitch clock was in? Because the pitch clock now.
Last summer.
Yeah, there you go. So it was fast, right? You were out of there in like 2.5 hours.
It was, honestly, like it didn't feel too long. As a person that isn't a huge baseball fan, it was the right amount.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Some baseball purists, myself included sometimes, you kind of feel a little shortchanged because you grew up going to the ballpark. It was like a four-hour thing. You were there 3-4 hours. Now it's like 2.5 hours tops usually with the pitch clock. But with the Seas tomorrow, doubleheader. You're getting two baseball games. You can stay for both. You can get there for both. Going to be a great time down at Nat Bailey Stadium. So make sure you get your tickets. CanadiansBaseball.com. Okay, let's get to anyone else. Let's see here. Yeah, this is a good one from Ty David. He said, hang the Canucks Army shirt, the one I'm wearing, where the baseball jersey is. I'm going to do that. I might not take down the baseball jersey, but like right there, I might put it up there. I think that's a great idea.
I like that. That's a pretty good idea. By the way, one other thing that I'm curious to see, when I walk to the rink in like an hour, I'm really curious to see if there's going to be like one Canucks fan that wants to turn on the Canucks smash card just to unleash like years of trauma and disappointment. Because there's so many Vancouver fans, right? Like, is one of them going to be like, you know what? Like, this franchise makes me mad. Or ahead of game four, maybe. If they lose game three, like, I am really curious to see if there will be like one Canucks fan.
I read on I read on Twitter that they were keeping Canucks fans from the car. So not only were they trying to limit tickets, but they were keeping Canucks fans from smashing the car. Sounds like the VPD.
Well, what if you just walk up in regular street clothes? How are they going to know you're a Vancouver fan?
Or a suit. You're wearing a suit, aren't you, to the rink?
Yeah, but I'm not smashing that car, bro.
If video just came out of you just on Twitter, they're like, oh my God, some guy in a suit smashing is just you with a sledgehammer. That would make my day. That would be amazing. Oh yeah, here's the smash card. Great, pulled it up here for us. And they spray painted the N with an S to spell Canucks. Real original. Man.
Yeah, it's funny.
You know, I know they're playing them and everything, but what a beautiful facility, hey?
Oh, dude, covering games in Nashville is so fun, especially for a market that is smaller, non-traditional, some would say. That building is loud. It was packed in December. There's a great atmosphere. I'm genuinely really excited to cover game 3 and 4.
This video brought to you by Jeff Patterson, who took a video of someone trying to parallel park, which was great to see off the start there. But they got those scooters in Nashville too, eh? I don't like these scooters. Here's an anyone else topic. I don't like those. They're all over the road, man.
True.
I don't have a problem with them on the road specifically. Like, I do, but I don't run into that too often. Like, people driving them on the road. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, I'm walking through the neighborhood or whatever, and these are in Coquitlam, Port Moody, Maple Ridge. All these places are all out here. You walk, and then you're on the sidewalk, and then there's just one thrown on the side of the road.
People just leave them wherever.
They just leave them everywhere. It's crazy.
Now, you know where you're going to like them, though? You know you're going to like them next year, and Young Stars, or I guess this year, coming up in Penticton. Harm, were you ripping them with us with Faber last year?
I wasn't. No, I wasn't. But Faber's... I did on the road in Washington, D.C., around the White House with, like, PJ.
Nice.
We were ripping scooters.
I don't know if you guys remember this. Faber did an S&P hit with us, and he rolled up with his helmet on. I'm like, you got to keep your helmet on during this interview. And he did the whole interview with it. It was awesome. But
man, chat coming in with the chirps today. This one from Daniel Brousseau, who I think is a regular listener of the show. Welcome, Daniel. Actually, no, you're not welcome, Daniel, because listen to this comment. Don't you have to be old enough to have a driver's license to be worried about what's on the road? I will not accept this. I'll flash the class 5. I've got an early birthday. I was the first in my friend group to get my L, first try. First in my friend group to get the N, first try. Class 5 test, first in my friend group to get the full license as well. First try.
Well, yeah, because you're friends with what, like 13-year-olds? Of course you're the first one.
I failed my L twice and my N once, like an idiot.
I had a baseball teammate, not to put him on blast, not mentioning names. I had a baseball teammate who failed his L test 3 times and his N test 4 times. And I was like, dude, like, I know a lot of people fail the test because especially out here, it's like, oh, you shoulder checked twice and not 3 times or whatever. Yeah. His was like, oh, you went 58 in a school zone. And it's like, dude, you maybe shouldn't actually be able to drive. Like, this isn't good. These aren't good reasons to be failing your test.
I remember I sweet talked the exam guy on my second try for my N, and the Canucks had just acquired David Booth. So the whole test, we just talked about that trade the whole time. And I guess he was like, yeah, you're good. Here you go. You passed. It's like, okay, sweet. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Good times. Good times. I like driving. But anyways.
You like driving into work in traffic?
I actually okay. So this is how I am. I'm good at finding the side streets.
Yeah.
Optimized my way the office and the way home. Like I'm zipping. I'm always moving. So
yeah. And you don't come in rush hour usually. So
yeah, exactly. And I try to leave. Well, there's no rush hour going home. It feels like it's like if you leave after 2:30 or 2 o'clock, you're going to hit some traffic on the way home. So
yeah.
Anyways, what were we talking about?
We're taking questions about the license. Right.
There's not many today. Oh yeah. Okay. How was the travel to Nashville? This is for Harm, obviously. I heard a flight got canceled.
Oh, we were all clear. We were all good. We lucked out. We had a flight from, I think, like 3:30 from YVR to Seattle, and it was only like an hour later. Plus, because our original flight got delayed, it was like as soon as we got off, we went straight to the gate to board from Seattle to Nashville. But man, I'll tell you what, the difference between, let's say, the 5-hour travel that the Canucks have going from Vancouver to Nashville versus like a Vancouver to LA or Vegas, it is so tiring. Like, I can't imagine how the players, like whatever team advances and makes it to the second round, is going to have a disadvantage, because that just drains you, that travel day, and how long it is. And you wouldn't instinctually think the difference between, let's say, a 5-hour flight and a 3-hour flight would seem like a ton. But it really does. Like, I can't ever recall flights to Vegas or LA feeling very onerous or feeling fatigued or drained after them. But after doing a travel day through Nashville, and obviously the team's charter, their facilities and amenities are much better, but still, it was a lot more draining than I expected.
Okay, we have an actual Canucks question here. Also, I hate traveling too. I fly to Edmonton and I'm absolutely gassed, which isn't good. But anyways, this one from, I can't say that name, I don't think. I can't read it. But he asked if there was any update on Myers' status. Myers is in tonight. Was there anything else from Rick Tocchet this morning, Harm?
No, nothing. Nothing big. Sounds like they're gonna go with the same lineup, but outside of Myers drawing in for Juleson.
And, so no Puck Olsen, eh?
No.
Any surprise there? I've been saying it since game two, since game one, I wanted him in game two, get Pod Colson in there.
Yeah, I think PDG was much better in game two, in all fairness. Like, I thought he was fine, and especially in a game three situation, huge swing game, first game on the road. For a lot of these guys, it's going to be their first time in a hostile, intimidating road environment. I can understand why Tocchet wants to go with the more experienced veteran player. And again, the key is PDG, I thought, was underwhelming in game one, but he stepped up in game two and was fine. I don't think you're gaining a ton by having Pod Colson draw in for game three. Like, I don't think it's making a huge difference.
May not even be measurable. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, and Ty David pointing out that PDG created the Zadorov goal. So again, yeah. You maybe don't want to take PDG out of the lineup on this one. Okay, this one was one I wanted to get to. We'll close it on this one. Jesse C. Quad's going full old man, talking about 4-hour baseball games and get those damn scooters off the road. Give me a 4 wins for my rocking chair. And then Jeremy Lee, of course, regulars in the show. 16 on the outside, 61 in the middle. And speaking of 61, had that right beside me. Riley Stillman rookie card there. Signed. Riley Stillman rookie card, one of the best birthday presents I've ever received. Okay, let's get to our Bet365 bet of the day, and then we will get out of here. I pointed out yesterday, folks, called the Oakland Athletics to win, plus 220 odds, nailed it. Oakland A's won 3-1. Mason Miller gets the save, appointment viewing if you're a baseball fan right now. And Harm, I'll send you some Mason Miller stuff. That dude's throwing 103, 104. He's pumping gas. He's so much fun to watch, but I'll send it to you later. Okay, this is our Bet365. Bet of the day. Where did I have? Yeah. Okay. Like I said, I've been saying recently, we're thrilled to welcome Bet365 as our sports betting partner just in time for the 2024 playoffs. We'll be here with Bet365 to provide you all the news, analysis, lines, and betting options for the playoffs until one team is left standing in June. Bet365 is the largest sports betting platform globally. Open an account with Bet365 today and use promo code VANBONUS, all capital letters, to bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Okay, here is our Bet365 bet of the day, and you know I had to do it to him. The Vancouver Canucks are underdogs tonight in Nashville, -105 odds for the Vancouver Canucks to win tonight. And happy birthday to Irvin in the chat, who said, it's my 39th birthday today and I still don't have a license. Hey, that's totally fair. You don't have to have a license. I'm just saying that I do, and I did it on my first try. So I don't want to hear any comments about how I'm not allowed to be on the road. I am, no matter how many passengers, no matter if those passengers are my family, I can have passengers.
Congrats.
Thanks. All right. We'll close it up.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Irvin. Yes. Yeah, of course. Happy birthday to Irvin. You know what? One more, Harm. We got a couple minutes. Jeremy Lee, this is the last anyone else. How much different should the Canucks play with the Smith in net versus Demko? I'm going to say not very. They didn't play very differently at all. I don't want to say, well, maybe don't make glaring mistakes, but they're always trying to not make mistakes, right? So I don't think you change anything. I think you try to make less mistakes because that's what ended up burning you in that last game. I don't think so. Like, I don't think you need to, I don't think you need to change much.
I agree, especially because their default is the way they play even in front of Demko. They don't allow a ton of grade A chances. And yeah, game two, they didn't give up a ton defensively. I don't think they need to change much. If anything, sometimes when teams have a backup in their net, they become too conservative and they start backing up. Now, all of a sudden, you give the other team more time and space. You're on your heels. And if anything, it means more offensive zone time for the other team and more opportunities for them to create pressure, generate momentum, get pucks to the net. So I don't think the Canucks need to change much.
Shout out to Dan Carlo, who was in our Facebook chat and pointed out that he is watching from the Philippines. Listeners of Canucks Convo all over. Is that, you know, and I don't know where he's watching it, but I'm just imagining like a guy in the Philippines watching Canucks Convo on his phone and speakers loud in the middle of a coffee shop and people are like, what are you watching? Like, that's how I picture it. So I hope that's where you're watching it, Dan Carlo. I hope there's a lot of people in the Philippines right now watching Canucks Convo. We appreciate your support. We'll close it out there, folks. We'll be back on Monday to break it all down, games 3 and 4. It's going to be a good series, folks. It's going to continue to be a good series. We'll close it out there, though. For my co-host, Harmon Dyler, our technical producer, Grady Sass, my name is David Gugelli. Thank you so much for listening to the episode of the Canucks Conversation.
Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.